Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for the boys and girls again. Amen. Thank you, Miss Donna, Miss Stephanie, and Danny and Jana. Thank y'all. More, I tell you, our youth church is growing, and I thank the Lord for that. I appreciate what they're doing, and I know that mom, dad, grandparents do. Thank you for being here again today. It's good to have all of you in the house of the Lord. Again, our friends in the internet and radio audience, glad that you're part of the services. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 6 for a first reading this morning. Proverbs chapter 6. And then if you hold your place there, and then turn over to in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 6 and Hebrews number 4. We are dealing with a greater Bible study this month. I was telling Brother Bobby and Lee yesterday, my month hadn't gone just exactly like I had hoped it would, so far as some things I want to get done, but I'm very thankful for how the Lord's blessed, and He's been good to us. And on this coming Wednesday night, now last Wednesday night, if you were here, I shared with you some things about Bible study materials and concordance and Bible dictionaries and so on, and looking at the Word of God, and how I'd encourage you to, before you go to a lot of resources, just ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you and let Him open up a passage of Scripture to you. And so now, and I mentioned that this coming Wednesday night, Brother Tim is going to be dealing more with technology, the lot of new Bible study methods that you have access to, the apps and the computer and all of that. And so this coming Wednesday night, if you come, and Brother Tim's going to be sharing with you Bible study methods and access and materials that you can find on the internet and other things that'll be helpful to you. And we were talking, Brother Don and I were talking about the Word of God on the Bible. Now, I like my Bible, and some of you use the iPad or the phones or whatever, but I like my Bible because it's right here in front of me. But the technology is something I hadn't really thought about, because when I was in school up in Tennessee Temple way back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a brother that we knew about, and he was called God Smuggler. And his ministry was to get the Word of God into closed countries where the Word of God was not legal. And in peril of his own life, he went in undercover and took the Word of God in and got it into those church homes and other places. And they take the Bible and take it apart and take a page here and a page there to one village and those type of things. They had methods of where they would take and they would hide it in certain places and glue it up under furniture and all those type of things, just so they could have just a piece of the Word of God. And then we were talking about the technology now that the last time we were in the Philippines, and Becky was with us, we went out one time out into one of the villages. I mean, way back, it was like a Tarzan movie set in little, you know, straw huts and no electrical power. And they had torches and logs for us. And Becky did a Bible class for the kids. It got dark. And we were there, and I watched out in the edge of the jungle there, and I saw this little blue light that kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, well, what in the world is that? And a few minutes, there was a Filipino stepped out into the light, had a cell phone. I mean, they don't, you know, have any other modern conveniences, but had a cell phone out there. And so they have access to the Word of God. And so there is certain limitations that I know restrictive governments can do on blocking those type of things. But that's just another way I think the Lord's made it possible for people in closed countries to have access to the Word of God. And, of course, you know, through the Bible studies with J. Vernon McGee, they have the little Bible study, not a cassette, but it's a little apparatus that's got the Bible study, the full whole five-year program on that little bitty thing, and it operates off of, I believe, solar power. And they're getting those into places like that. Remote. So technology is a wonderful thing. So I hope you'll come, and Tim will be a help to you to share with you that on Wednesday night. Now, I want you to look this morning, and I'm going to share with you just some things here this morning from the Word of God. How many of you have your Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let's look at your Bible this morning. You've got the Word of God. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful sight this morning to see the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for you being here again. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. I want to begin reading with verse number 20. And he said, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are in the way of life." Now, let's go to the New Testament. Let me read to you a passage I've quoted before as we've been dealing with the Word of God, but I want to read it to you from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "The Word of God is quick." The Word of God is quick. And if you have a marginal reference, or if you look at that word quick, it means alive. It means the Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to call your attention back to one last phrase in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22. It said, "It shall talk with thee." Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for the living Word of God. Thank you, our Father, that this book in front of me today is like no other book in the world. It is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is authored by the Holy Spirit of God. And our Father, you've given it to us that we might be instructed, that we might know what your will is, that we might know you, that we know, our Father, things in the future. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would help us this morning. God, apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, nothing can be accomplished here today. And Father, as our brother Wayne's already prayed, I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And God, I pray, Father, for our friends in the media audience as well. Lord, I pray that the Word of God in these days would become precious, not that it is so scarce, but that it is, like David said, it is sweeter than honey to my taste. I pray, God, that your people would fall fresh in love with the Word of God and reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God to be empowered and instructed and convicted and cleansed by your Word. And I pray, God, this morning, if there's a man, old woman, a boy, a girl here, you said your Word would not return void. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit of God would lodge the Word in somebody's heart that they might be saved. And God's people, Lord, might be right with you. And we might have the anointing and power of God to be used of God. Lord, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. And apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. I pray, God, you'd speak this morning. Give me strength for my body. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Several years ago, when I was in Tennessee Temple Schools, we had, I believe, a missionary there at that time. And he told a lot of different stories, but one just really stuck in my heart. He said they were ministering in a certain area of a setting in a foreign country, in really a jungle-type setting with Indians, I believe. And he said they did have a written language and they did have the scriptures in their language. And in that particular village that they were in, there was one man who was real resistant to what they were saying. He didn't want to hear it, didn't want to be around them. And he said on one occasion, he said he was close enough to him that he simply handed him a copy of a New Testament. And he said that man reluctantly took it and said when he took it, he just turned and went off into the, back out into the jungle. He said the next day when they were assembled together meeting again, he said he noticed out of the corner of his eye that man came slipping back out through the jungle and came up into the crowd. And he said he watched him as he listened intently as he shared the Word of God that day and he preached. And when he was over with, he was just really in his heart expecting the man to come and get saved right then. And he said, but as they began to have the invitation and people were praying around and everything, he said the Indian slipped up to him and he stuck the book back to him. And he said, "I wanted you to have that." He said, "I don't want this book." He said, "It talks to me and it cuts my heart." And the missionary said, I was able to explain to him what was happening. In fact, it was God talking to him. It was God speaking to him through that book. The book was talking to him, he said, and it was cutting my heart. And he explained to him that what the Spirit of God was doing was showing him he needed a Savior. And that the same book that told him he was a sinner told him there was a Savior and somebody who would forgive all of his sin and make him a brand new creature. And he said the man trusted the Lord Jesus Christ was gloriously saved. But I've never forgotten that phrase. He said, that native said, "This book talks to me. It talks to me." I remember when I began to study the Word of God many years ago myself, and I had gotten saved early and kind of got away from the Lord. But then we rededicated a life back to the Lord and got in church, got studying and everything. About that time, they came out and they were advertising a brand new device. And it was records. How many of you remember records? It was a record. And here's how they advertised it. They said, "It is the talking Bible." And I thought, my, that's something to be able to take a record and play the Bible on a record. It was called the talking Bible. Well, I've got news for you. You have in your hand this morning a talking Bible. You've got a talking Bible because it is the Word of God and God speaks to it. The Bible said this in the book of Hebrews as well, that in times past, God spake in sundry manners and He spake through the prophets. So God has spoken to people through His spokesman. God has spoken through preachers and prophets in days gone by. And He still does speak through the men of God and women of God. He speaks through them the truth of the Word of God. And then the Bible said that the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last days. The Spirit of God speaks to us. And so God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He does deal with our hearts personally and He speaks to us and He convicts us and draws us. He said when the Holy Spirit of God has come, He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. He testifies to us and He speaks to us and He convicts us. And so the Spirit of God speaks to us. But then He gave us the wonderful Scriptures, and the Scriptures speak to us. It is a talking Bible. I want to suggest to you this morning several things, and it's very simple, but several things that the Word of God talks to us about and what He talks to us about from this Word. The Word of God talks to me, and it talks to you. It'll talk to us, first of all, about our sin. It speaks to us about our sin. You see, there's so many wonderful truths that are fascinating in the Bible, and people have a lot of interest in end time things and the Antichrist and all those things. But before you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God primarily deals with you about your sin. And through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God reveals something about our sin. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible speaks to us and the Bible talks to us about the origin of sin. It's not a cultural thing. It's not just the different elements of society that causes that. It is a very natural thing, sin is. And it tells me something about the cause of sin in the Bible. The Bible said, whereas by one man's sin, and by that one man's sin into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, he brought sin into the world. And it's been passed on down. And the Bible said we are by nature the children of wrath. You don't have to teach children to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. Because we have an old sin nature. We have an Adamic nature. And the Bible speaks to us about that. That it's part of us. We are sinners, the Bible said. And He has concluded all under sin. And the cause of sin in our life is that old nature. And it's the reason you go to an apple tree to get apples or go to an orange tree to get oranges because an apple tree has oranges and has apples and an orange tree has oranges because it's in its nature. And the reason people sin is because of what they are on the inside, because of their nature, that they are lost, they are without Christ. But then it talks about the consequence of sin in the Bible. The wages of sin is death. The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. And in what people say is pleasurable, that's contrary to the Word of God, the Bible doesn't deny that. There are pleasures of sin, but it's for a season because there are consequences. The Bible said that we're sin when we're drawn out after our own lust. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And so the consequence of that sin is death. But then it only speaks to us about that, the cause and the consequence, but it speaks to us about the cure for it. And there's only one. But thank God there's one that's sufficient for all sin. The Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Wouldn't it be something if there was a one wonder drug that you could take for cancer and for pneumonia and for arthritis? Just one thing that you could take that would cure all of your ailments? Well, there's not one that exists. But when it comes to sin, there's one cure and one cure only, but it's 100% guaranteed to cure every person who takes it. All the medication that you take and all that I take, they got the name of the medication, then they give you 3 pages to tell you why it might kill you, you know? And if you read it, you might want to take anything. But can I tell you this? The Bible said that we have forgiveness through His blood. You can have all of your sins cleansed. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And the Bible speaks to us about that. Now, I can tell you that and it won't mean anything to you. But when the Holy Spirit of God uses that word and He speaks that word to you, when He speaks to you, I remember over in the old building, J.C. Smith was over there. And he was sitting right down near the front over there. And we'd been praying for J.C. And Raymond Williams was here. And Raymond was a preacher friend of mine. He's in heaven now. He's preaching at night. And I think this was in an early service or something. But anyway, he always did question and answers. And he was standing right there, and J.C. was right, kind of right down in front of him. And he got to talking about sin and God forgiving sin, and people were asking him questions. And I watched it, and I saw when the light came on, Wednesday night, I shared about Gary Gaither. Gary Gaither's a man who got saved through the ministry of the Highway Shepherd. He was a Catholic, 53 years, but he never was saved. And he told me the thing that so troubled him was when he began to listen to the Living and Dying with No Regrets, and he'd listened to about 3 months, he said, a little bit at a time, and he finally trusted Christ. He said the Word of God got to speak to his heart. A little bit at a time, God would speak to him, And he said, and then God spoke to him through the Word of God and said he had already bore all his sin in his own body on the tree, and he already paid for all of his sin. And he said, I believe that, and I accepted Christ. And he said, Brother Billy, you know, all those years, my priest never told me that Jesus had already died for all of my sin. And my dear friend, He died for all of your sin. And when the Word of God speaks to you, when it talks to you, boy, business picks up then. You're not interested in what your mama thought or nobody else thought. You're not interested in what anybody else said. You just want to know that God spoke to your heart and that He knows every sin you've ever got and knows that He wants to forgive you and He'll save you right then. And so it not only speaks to me about my sin, but it speaks to me about my Savior. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish. Some people paint a picture of Him and say that He's going to cast everybody in hell. He's not willing that any should perish. He said He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. Do people die and go to hell? By the millions. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But does it make God jubilant? Does it make Him happy? No. It breaks His heart. Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept. And He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers a chick, but you will not come to me, you might have life. The Word of God speaks to us about our Savior, that He loves us and He wants to give us everlasting life. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. The Word of God speaks to you about who He is and about what He does and how He'll save you. And He said, I'll keep you forever and ever. He said, no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. I'll give you everlasting life. He said, if you'll come to me, I'll forgive you of your sin. I'll save you and give you everlasting life. The Word of God speaks to us about our sin. The Word of God speaks to us about our Savior. The Word of God speaks to us about our service. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a unique situation. And Brother Mill and I were talking about a while ago. When a person knows Christ, they need to be baptized. They ought to follow the Lord and believe His baptism. Not for salvation, but in obedience. And that's the beginning, really, of your Christian obedience. And then to be a part of a good local church and to be faithful to that church and to be in that church. The Word of God speaks to us about the importance of being at the house of God. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as a matter of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You need to be in the house of God. So that preacher just wants to come to church. No, the Word of God speaks to our heart. And David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Listen to us, assemble with God's people, to be with people who you know will love you and pray for you and care for you, people who live real lives, people who have sickness and sorrow and pain, who go through heartaches with their family and with their children, everybody just like you do, and know that God's grace is sufficient. Boy, Ricky, I love that song. I love that song. Thank God for that grace of God. It still amazes me how good God is to me. People remind me over and over again. JC the other night came to me and he was telling about a friend that got the very same thing I had and didn't live 24 hours. And he said, you're lucky, you're lucky. I said, I'm blessed. God's a God of grace. God's a God of grace. And I'm telling you right now, he in the Word of God, he tells us about our service. He said we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to him. And we're to give him. The Bible said that he saved us from sin to serve the true and living God. He wants us to serve him. And the Bible says much to us about serving the Lord and our surrender and yieldedness to him. You serve him by your faithfulness to the house of God. You serve him through your stewardship. A steward is somebody who takes care of somebody else's wealth. All we have belongs to him. Everything is his. It's all his. Everything belongs to him. He allowed us and put some things in our trust to use for his glory. But you serve him that way. My dear friend, the Word of God speaks to us about our service. But the Word of God will speak to you about this. It'll speak to you about your sorrow. I want to remind you, you're living in a real world. And real things happen to real people. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. Doesn't say if you're a good person or a bad person. It says everybody, everybody. When you think about Job, the Bible said there was a day. There was a day in Job's life. And boy, what a day it was. They came to him one after another and said, the Siberians have come and this one has come and this one has come. They've taken all your cattle. They've taken all your sheep. They've taken everything. And then ultimately they came and said, all your children are dead. Lost all of his livelihood, lost his children, everything one day. The process of time, he lost his health. All those things happen. But the Bible tells us a lot of things about our sorrow. In this world, you shall have tribulation, the Lord said. Don't be surprised. You say, why me? Why not me? Every one of us are living in a body that's dying. I mean, it's dying. Just as soon as we were born and we began to grow, there we're dying. We like that way. God never intended for us to live forever in this body here. But he did intend for us to live forever with him there in a brand new body where there's no sickness or sorrow or pain. But you're going to have it. And he told his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'll come again receiving to myself that where I am there you may be also. There's a place prepared for us. And when our loved ones are taken to death, he made this provision. A little later in that chapter, he said, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Spirit of God. All these many years, somebody's asked me yesterday about how many weddings I've done. I don't have any idea how many weddings I've done, nor funerals. When God called me to preach, my pastor told me I ought to keep a list of them all these years. It'd be interesting, but I failed to do that. But I preached way too many funerals, more funerals than I ever want to preach again. But I'm going to a land where I won't ever, ever preach another funeral. I'm going to a land where there are no cemeteries, no grave markers, because nobody ever gets sick, nobody ever dies there, and they live forevermore in that land beyond this, but along this world. And it speaks to me about my sorrow. And it says this, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have some sorrow in this world, but he's made provision. He'll give you the Holy Ghost of God to help you, the Comforter. And he's made provision that this is just a temporary thing, because there's coming a day, the Bible said, that he'll wipe away all your tears. The Bible speaks to me about sorrow. How could you ever live without the Word of God? If you were just going on what people thought and what people say and this, that, and the other. But when the Word of God speaks to your heart, it's kind of like those disciples that day they want a ship and it became turbulent seas and they said, Master, we perish. Now, understand this. These were not novice sailors. They were hard, weathered sailors. They'd been on that sea hundreds and thousands of times. And when they said, we're sinking, they were sinking. They were going down. They knew it. Jesus walked down the bow of that ship and he said, peace be still. And that ocean got just like that. Can I say something to you, my dear friend? He can speak that peace to your heart. In the greatest storm you ever go through, the greatest sorrow you ever go through, he can give you peace of God. And he made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. My dear friend, listen, the Word of God speaks to us about our sorrows. They're only temporary, and He'll carry us through them. He'll carry them through them. And then the Bible speaks to us about soul winning. You see, He saved us for a purpose. You ever wonder why when He saved us, forgave all of our sin, why didn't just take it right on to heaven? Because He left us here. He said, you're the light of the world. You're here to be a witness. You are my ambassadors for Christ. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You and I have responsibility now of telling the good news, of telling people what Jesus did for us. Paul, on 3 different occasions, gave his own personal testimony about how God saved him and changed his life. And Paul said, I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The Word of God speaks to him and speaks to me about the fact that we're not good in ourselves. But he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And thank God for that. You can know that. And he's no respecter of persons. Paul was saying this, I'm chiefest of sinners. And if he can save me, he can save you. I promise you this morning that the Word of God says this, that he'll save you. And that's what the gospel message is all about. It's not trying to convince people into becoming a Baptist or anything else. It's soul winning is going and telling somebody that Jesus Christ loved them and died for them. And you know, somebody described it this way. It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. My dear friend, I came to the Savior, and I know what I was, and I knew what I, and he saved me. And if he saved me, he'll save you. And so I simply tell that story over and over again, that Jesus Christ died to save sinners, and he loves you, and he died for you. And if you'll trust him, he'll give you everlasting life. And that's what soul winning is all about. The Bible said in the book of Psalms 126, he that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. If you have in your heart a brokenness and know that what Christ did for you and have a burden for other people, and you go with a genuine desire to see them saved, not just to notch your gun or to build a crown, but that people's lives might be changed, that they might know what it means to have their sins forgiven and have that peace of God that passes all understanding and know that beyond any shadow of a doubt that they're going to go to heaven and live forever. And thank God for that. And that they know it, that they can know it just like you did. He said, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. The Word of God speaks to us about the fact that you can know that you're saved. You can know that you're saved. And I encourage you right now to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to the Word of God when he said this, that if thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When that becomes you, when you know, my friend, that you're the whosoever, when you know that he died for you and the Word of God speaks to your heart, when the Bible speaks to you, not just a man, but when the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, it'll get real to you. And oh, what a joy it is to know that Jesus Christ. I played a thing on Wednesday night. A dear trucker called, and it just blessed me so. He didn't give his phone number or nothing. He just called to thank the Lord for the ministry and for what God had done in his life. And to hear that man break and weep and cry and to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just tell you, it's going to be worth it all when you get to heaven. If you lead one person to Christ in this life, and when you get to heaven and you have a brand new body, they have a brand new body, and they know it's real forever and ever and ever. My dear friend, they won't ever get over the gratitude that they feel for the Lord Jesus Christ, nor for you telling them about Christ. The Bible tells us about the joy of soul winning. He shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But one other thing I say, and I'm through this morning. The Word of God speaks to us about the second coming of Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. You've heard that over and over again. But when God speaks to you through this book and the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, oh, what a joy it is to know he's coming again. He said, Paul writes in that book of 1 Thessalonians, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which sleep shall not prevent or go before those who are coming. But he said this, the Lord himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain. I can see that, folk. I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart through the Bible. I didn't learn that from a man. I've heard it preached. I've heard it taught. But the Bible spoke to me. That's real to me. There's coming a day. And I tell you, Dr. D. Robertson used to preach, there's a song called Some Golden Break Daybreak, Jesus Will Come. And the man that wrote that song, Dr. Lee Robertson, knew him personally. And he had been a faithful servant of the Lord. He and his wife had crisscrossed this country preaching and serving the Lord. And Dr. Robertson said, that's a beautiful song God gave you. He said, it's a truth. He said, the Lord's going to ascend from hell with a shout, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. He said, Brother Robertson, you know where I'd love to be when the Lord comes? He said, where? He said, I'd like to be standing beside my wife's grave. He said, I know she's in heaven, but also know that body's coming out. The Bible said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we'll be caught up together and meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these things. I'm going to tell you, he speaks to our heart about the second coming. He speaks to us about the imminent coming of our Lord. He said, be ye also ready, for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He could come at any time. There's not one thing has to be fulfilled in this Bible. He's coming, and he's coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He talks about his coming, and it'll be a sudden coming. It'll be a selective coming. He's calling out his children, his ambassadors. Only those who've been saved by the grace of God will get to go with him in the rapture. Only those who have a like nature that he has, those who've been born again. The Bible said, one will be taken, one will be left. Those who are saved will be taken, those who are lost will be left to face the tribulation here in the world. The Bible speaks to us about the second coming and the selectivity of it, that it's going to be just those who know Christ that gets to leave. Oh, listen, it's going to be a joyous time when we see him meet our loved ones in the clouds and meet him in the air forever. What a wonderful time it'll be. But just say this, there's a word of warning. You need to be ready in regard to the second coming. This Bible will speak to you about anything you need to know about. It'll be your guide. It tells us in this text that I read to you, there are three things that this Bible would speak to you about and three things that the Lord will speak to you about. He said, first of all, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Wouldn't you like to have some guidance in your life? Wouldn't you like to have some path? I was watching television this morning, preacher, I can't remember who he was now, but he gave that wonderful passage in Proverbs where it said this, in all thy ways acknowledge him, trust him with all your heart, he'll direct your path. The Word of God will speak to you about leadership. God will give you peace about it. God will show you the truth about it. In any area of your life, God will give you the plain path through this Word. And don't be satisfied with any less than that, because he promised that he'll lead you. He'll show you which way you ought to go. Job-wise, marriage-wise, everything else, he'll guide you. But not only does he promise through his word to guide us, and it said this, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. It'll guard you. The word of God will be he said, thy word if I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And my dear friend, the word of God will be a guardian in your life. It'll guard you, gird up the loins of your mind. Fill your heart with it. Satan's warring against your mind. You need to fill your mind and heart with the Word of God. It'll guard you. But then he goes on a little bit further in the same passage of Scripture, and he says this, and when thou wakest, it'll talk with thee. I'm telling you right now, to have the Spirit of God speak in our heart, and I'll tell you how he talks to us. He talks to us through the Word of God, through the Word of God. Oh, listen, you have songs in your heart. I have songs in my heart, And those things run through your mind at certain times, and they're a blessing. This, you know, we sing that song when we all get to heaven, and I'll understand it better by and by. Those type of songs, those old songs, some of the newer songs are great too, but some of those newer songs, I was thinking the other morning I woke up, and I can't think of his name now, the high tenor boy that we heard. Can't remember his name. Anyhow. But it said, has anybody here been blessed? Say amen. And that was just ringing in my mind and heart. And I just got to say amen. I've been blessed. Amen. I've been blessed. But you know what really speaks to my heart is the Word of God. We talked to Becky last night. Vicky's birthday was on Thursday. Daddy forgot it. Mama covered me. She texted me and Daddy, wish you happy birthday. And but I remembered it at 10:30, or she mentioned it to me, and she said she mentioned it to me earlier during the day, and I just didn't think about it. But at any rate, in fact, when we left the reception last night, Regina Skyped in the highway patrolman here. Don't tell nobody, but Regina Skyped and had her and the babies and all on there. And she's right along with the phone, and we were looking at them, talking to them. And she got to tell us about the baby. On her birthday, she went out with John and some friends, and Cheyenne was taking care of her. And it was her first day to be on formula. She drank, everything was fine, but about 10:30 at night or 10 o'clock at night, Cassie, the little baby, got violently ill. And for 45 minutes, she just threw up over 8 times. She had to call the doctor. And even telling us about it, I could hear her voice breaking. And she said she, at one point, just turned real red and quit breathing. I could tell that she was scared to death even then after it already happened. And mine and Regina's heart went out to her, and we prayed for her and all. But I remember when she was born, and the Lord's blessed us. I said yesterday we had 11 grandchildren. Just seems like 11, actually only 10. Regina reminded me. we have 10 grandchildren. But when Becky, our youngest, was born, when, you know, Christy, our first daughter, was born, they didn't, and Melissa and Charles, they didn't even want the daddy hardly in the hospital, let alone in the delivery room. But we'd gone through all of the 5 children, and Becky was the last, and I wanted to go in. I wanted to go in there when she was born. And Regina asked the doctor, said, should he go through that Lamaze training? And she said, I don't think so. Y'all have already got 4 children. It'll be all right. So, and I went in, and when she was born, Regina had been there several times, but when she was born, she didn't make a sound. And I could see the doctors and the nurses, they got scurrying around. And Regina just instinctively, Mama, she said, is my baby all right? And then it scared Daddy. And when they came across the room with her, she was blue. And they took her over to a little table and they fooled with her for a few minutes. And something just flooded through my heart. And the book of Ezekiel said, I saw thee polluted thy own blood. And I said, live. I said, live. And that thing got alive in my heart, and I said, live. And she cried out as loud as you've ever heard a young'un crying all your life. The Word of God spoke to me on that day. I don't know what people do without the Bible. I don't know what they do without the Word of God living in their heart and life. This book will speak to you along life's way. You got to put it in your heart. If you don't know him today in the radio audience, internet audience in this building, I want you to know this Bible has something to say to you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If you'll come to him today, he'll save you and give you everlasting life. If you're here today and you're Christian, you got something in your life that's not right, he doesn't want you to be that way. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to have sweet fellowship with him. He wants you to walk with him and talk with him. He wants that Word of God to be in your life and be real to you every day. I'm glad for the Word of God, aren't you? Will you bow with me for prayer today? This Bible talks to me. It will talk with thee in the way. It'll talk to you about your sin. It'll talk to you about the Savior. It'll talk to you about your service and your surrender. It'll talk to you about soul winning. It'll talk to you about your sorrow. It'll talk to you about his soon coming. And I'll tell you right now, it'll help you in whatever you're going through. You need the Word of God in your life, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I don't know what your need is today. I just know that what God wants me to share. And I pray that that word that I've tried to quote as I've gone along has found a lodging in your heart. And right now, right where you are, if you'll give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll turn from your sin, turn to the Savior, he'll save you right now. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. If you're here this morning in the building or in the radio audience, internet audience, I'd encourage you right now, to turn to Him in faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here in the building, I encourage you this morning, if God's speaking to your heart, and you know you're not saved, if you'll come, ask Him to save you. I promise you, He'll save you. If you come with a genuine heart of faith, turning from your sin and turn to the Savior, He said, He that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. He'll save you regardless of what you've done. He'll save you and forgive you of all your sin. If you're a Christian, there's things in your life ought not to be there. If you'll come to Him, He said, if you confess your sins, it's faithful and just forgiving to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you this morning. He'll lift that burden. He'll lift that care. He'll help you to go through the dark days you're going through. He'll carry you. Just trust Him. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I want you to just obey the Holy Ghost this morning. If you need to come and get around this old-fashioned altar, Christians ought to always lead the way. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I've been neglectful in reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. And Lord, I want to love it more. I want to put it in my life more. I want to saturate my soul with it. God, help me. I know what you need is. Let's stand together. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. You believe this Word God wants you to serve. We invite you to come this morning. If you're not saved, we invite you to come. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray the Holy Spirit of God to deal with hearts. I pray, God, that You'd speak to the men and women, boys and girls. Help them to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. Lord, I pray that if there's a lost person here, Lord, that You'd save them. Anybody in the media audience that's lost, I pray they'd get saved today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray You'd meet every need.